So welcoming you all really as you are in all your uniqueness. Like for people who are very beginning in meditation, people who are very experienced, and all of what is in between is welcome. You're welcome in all of your different physical states as well, different mental states, emotional states, different kinds of rucksack states and hiking shoe states. We are all welcome here. So I really loved it that UC said earlier, we are foreigners here. This is the Siamese land, and that to bear that in mind, that we're on indigenous land. And also there's the paradox that we are human beings on this earth and we belong here as well, you know? So there's that respect possible. This is indigenous land. And the respect of nature. And we belong here. And we all belong in this group. And we all belong on retreat here. And we can all find our own unique way of feeling that belonging, you know? And sometimes it might go closer and we might feel really close to others, and sometimes not. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong. When we feel disconnected, it's not that something is wrong with you or anything. It's, this is a bit disconnected. It's okay. What does it feel like? Okay. And it will change. It's impermanent. It's a feeling. It will change, like the wind changes. So this type of retreat, I find wonderful for the three jewels from Buddhism. The Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. I think there's a great opportunity here on this kind of mixed retreat of stillness, of movement, of togetherness, of Sangha, of aloneness, to bring in the three jewels, to be able to inquire into them, in the sense of the Buddha being seeing clearly inside. This is the Buddha inside us, is that which sees clearly. The Dhamma being the phenomena of the world. So we're in the phenomena as we walk through this environment. We can soak in the environment and it can soak into us. And we can feel this phenomena of the world and feel how the teachings can come, or some teachings from nature can come so naturally. This is Dharma. Also, Dharma is the Buddhist teachings. So there is two meanings to this word. One is they are actually the teachings, and also they are the world's phenomena. And because we've just got the hell out of cities and concrete and bricks, we've got the hell out far away from mobile phones and all of this. The Dharma phenomena that is here now is nature, that we are part of as well, that we belong in as well. We are nature. And we are our context. So if we're out in nature, we are, that's our nature as well. So we can really allow and be open to that nature soaking into us. Eating those cloudberries. Hey. And there is Sangha. The spiritual friends, the tribe that we are here now, this transient tribe. And I'm sure that many of you have heard this, the story of the Buddha's assistant, Ananda, who said to the Buddha, "But noble one, should I let go of my friends? Is it not a bit spiritual to have friends?" He was a bit worried. He thought that he might have to let go of his friends, you know. And the Buddha said, "No, Spiritual friends are the spiritual path. So we have this. And as we are as we are coming from grind culture, you know, the time is money, there's not enough. A lot of the time we're coming from this speediness. This is where out here as a group, in a sense, we can be very free. We don't need to worry about not having enough water, you know, apart from that we're in Finland and there's always water. But, you know, if you run out of water on the walk, you can ask somebody. We're here to help each other as well, hey. We're here to do this together. We're in this together. And at the same time, there's that possibility of aloneness, hey. Of being an island and to oneself. And sharing and connection. And so what is quite special about this type of retreat is that there will be moments of silence in the walking, in the mornings, where we can really just be an island unto ourselves, just following the walking, following the person in front of you, without needing to make decisions. And then we come out, and then we're in communication. And there's the possibility of meditation in communication. And then we're back to silence. And that hopping in and out of silence can be a little bit more challenging sometimes than 100% silent retreat, but also can be really good fun. But possibly a bit more challenging. To not, if we've been like speaking a lot and have a really good social connection with somebody, that doesn't spill over into the silent times. You know, it might take a little bit of, I need to gather myself back in to my own intimacy, you know. And the silence of, of not speaking but being together, and how we know each other in that type of silence is such a different way, no? It's so different from the presentation of ourselves. This is what I do, this is who I am. That we can get to know each other in a very rich way, an energetic way, and sometimes even we can get to know each other better, more, like we know the person more in silence. We know who they really are than who they present. And so there's the opportunity also of in this Buddha, seeing clearly, that's in all of us. There's the possibility of letting go of what's unnecessary. Seeing clearly what I don't need. So that's obviously not losing your tent or anything, or your hiking shoes or your sleeping bag. We don't want to let go of those. I just lost my plate and my fork and everything on the train. So that's the really important bits, hey, for survival out here. But just having this time to be quiet and to walk like this can be really fruitful for seeing clearly what we don't need anymore. And it might be a perception of ourselves or an attitude or some emotions we've been carrying that is way heavier than our rucksack. It's this big, you know, and we're carrying this weight, and we can go, actually I don't need this anymore. I can let go of it. And it can dissolve into the ground, into the heather, into this moss, you know? Like this story of the two monks who are walking out in nature, and they come to a river, and at the river there's an old lady, and she says, "Oh, help me to cross the river." And one of the monks, he says, "Yeah, of course, I'll carry you." And he picks her up on his back and carries her across the water, puts her down, and she says, "Thank you very much. Sadhu, sadhu." And they go, the two monks go on their way. And for the next 10 kilometers, the other monk, who didn't carry the old lady, he doesn't say anything. And he's tight and contracted and stiff, and, but he's not saying anything. And after 10 kilometers, the monk who carried the lady, he says, "Come on, tell me, what's wrong? What's the problem? You haven't spoken to me for 10 kilometers. And he said, "You know it's against the monk's rules to touch a woman." And the other monk says to him, "Yes, but the weight and the negativity that you have carried for the last 10 kilometers was a lot heavier than hers, than her." And so he recognized that the rules weren't always to be rigid about, you know. And so we can also be like that on retreat. We can stick to some guidelines, and then we can also feel where it feels best for us, you know. But just that story of what we're carrying that we don't need to carry, you know. That sometimes some perceptions, some attitudes, some thoughts, some stories are much heavier than our rucksack. And it may not be easy to let them go. But it can be something to bear in mind for this as we walk through this environment. And this is awakening. This is enlightenment. Is letting go of what we don't need anymore. It's not enlightenment that's something over there for some other people. That we have to be a very special person and have a very special life. You know, enlightenment is, it can be little snippets, little picnics of enlightenment. You know, little awakenings. And those little awakenings, we can celebrate them and enjoy them. Each time there's a little seeing. Each time the Buddha, the inside Buddha, sees some clarity. Even if it's something that we don't like about ourselves, or that we feel embarrassed about, that we have some ashamedness, that the celebration and the joy that can come from the seeing can far surpass, can be so much more than the ashamedness that we may have been holding on to, the smaller tighterness of, "I've seen that now. I've seen my attitude to that," or, you know, the way that I've been behaving in this context, or, you know what I mean? And so the habit is often towards the negativity of putting ourselves down. So we see clearly and then we put ourselves down. But if we can steer away from that and go, "No, hallelujah, you know, I've seen something clear there. I've had some clarity," like we do sometimes when we're just waking up, you know, and we're half dreaming, half awake. And then, or we remember a dream, and in the dream, we understand an attitude that we have or that someone else has towards us that we don't need to receive or whatever. Does that make sense? So it's kind of funny in a way that here we are with these big rucksacks. And I can see that there are some people who have some really big rucksacks and two bags and everything. It's like, how brave, you know? And at the same time, we can be lightening. We can be lightening our load as we go along. We can be getting just lighter and lighter and lighter. And we will, because materially, because we'll be eating the food. Hey. So we will get lighter in that way, but also we can really lighten up from having this this wonderful gift that we've offered to each other and to ourselves, to come out into the middle of nowhere where there is no one out here. It's fantastic, no? There's no buildings, there's no airplanes, there's no speedboats, there's no snowmobiles. There's no time is money, come on, hop, hop, be productive, you know? We can just let go into the schedule of the retreat like this, following like the walking meditation, just like this, together, connected, and yet each person their own special, extraordinary, unique self in stillness and in movement. And so like it, all retreats, it's also a great moment to be able to let go, in particular, of any comparing of ourselves to others. You know, that I'm shorter, or I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm more beautiful, more cleverer, more whatever, less clever, you know. The fact of spending time in silence is really, really conducive towards not needing to present, not needing to present a persona. So we can just be with what is. We can just be with the elements coming in. And that can be like having a really nice holiday from this self that we tend to present to people. As part of our lightening, our load, letting it go, letting it all dissolve into the ground. And especially, you know, for people who are quite new to meditation, to know that it's always a really beautiful energy. The freshness of people who are coming quite new to meditation or completely new. That is something very precious for the group, that energy. And people who have been meditating for a long time, you know, they can hold a kind of steadiness for the group. That's also wonderful. So when that comes in, or if that comes, any sort of comparing mind of feeling like you're less in any way or more in any way or equal, just say, I see you, I see you, I see you, demons, and let them pass. When I started meditation, when I started really going to teachings regularly, I think especially the first time I walked in on a live teaching, I was convinced that the other people there were probably nearly enlightened and that they'd been meditating for at least 25 years. And it was only 6 months later, because when I started, I straight away started helping to organize and, you know, cook for retreats and offer service for the Dharma. But this perception that the others were probably nearly enlightened and they'd been meditating for a long, long time, it stayed with me for 6 months or something. And then one day we were sitting, talking after an evening of meditation, and I found out that they arrived on the same night as me. And I'd been carrying this big idea that everybody was so evolved, you know, for 6 months, like the monk, you know, carrying a false perception or something. So I hope that's helpful. And whatever is not helpful, just let it pass. Or maybe it will cook for a bit and then maybe later it will make some other kind of sense, you know, as we slip into this retreat time. We're quite tired from our journeys. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go too long tonight. So I will guide a short meditation now of maybe 15 to 20 minutes. So you're most welcome to find the posture that's good for you now. You're welcome to lie down, to sit, to stand. Try to find a posture that will be comfortable for you for this time, so that you're not forcing your muscles to do anything that would be painful, that you can hold without moving too much. So gently closing your eyes, feeling your eyelashes touching. Inviting you to into this change from the visual world into this more touching into ourselves here inside, touching into our own intimacy. And how is that, this change? Feeling our lips just lightly touching, our tongue placed just behind our top teeth, and relaxing the rest of your tongue. Dropping your chin a little bit towards your chest, so that you're not forcing on your neck. And finding a comfortable place to put your hands that feels good for you now. A reassuring, allowing shoulders to open a bit and drop. And a little bit of air between your elbows and your upper chest. So you're not tightly holding your arms into your chest. And breathing. Becoming aware of your breath and breathing into your rib cage, feeling that expanding, contracting, just for a few breaths. as we slowly begin to inhabit our body in a different way, in a closer, more intimate, precise way, diving in lightly into our bodies, into our sensations. So rib cage rising and falling. Coming down through our diaphragm, that middle muscle across the middle of the body, the chest, into our lower belly, into our pelvis area. And as we wake up into these different parts of our body, we're not leaving behind what we just woke up. We're bringing it with us in awareness. So breathing into the back of the lower pelvis area, the bottom of the pelvis area, the front and the sides. Sinking towards the earth, kind of feeling. Like a sighing into the earth. It could be a sighing of relief, to be coming into presence, into intimacy with ourselves. Coming down our legs from the inside, if you feel like, or feeling the outside that's touching your clothes, that's touching the ground. Down through the knees. Down into the ankles, bottom of the feet, the toes, tops of the feet. From whichever is easiest for you as an entry point, whether it's really inside feeling or as if we were washing with a flannel of awareness, the outside, the skin. And coming back up now, up over our bottom, feeling the bottom of our spine, maybe centering it a bit, aligning it as it needs to be, where it feels attuned to the rest of your body. Coming up your back with a natural curve of the spine, snaking. To that center point between your shoulder blades, and just allowing that to drop, to relax. coming up and over the skull to your forehead. And just breathing into that area where there may have been a lot of expression, some contraction, some squinting against the sun. There may have been a lot of thinking. All part of being human. And just allowing that to slip away as we breathe into that part, the forehead. Coming to the eyebrows and around the eyes. And the muscles around the nose. Letting them drop towards the ground. The muscles around the mouth. And the jawline. And inviting you again to feel the breath coming into your body and the effects of the breath. Where is it touching? Where can you feel your breath? Where can you feel the breath's journey? And how does that touch? How does that touch you? So without trying to do any type of special breathing or control the breathing, we're rather gently following it, not too closely, but very gently following the breath, feeling into its effects as it comes in and as it goes out from your body, like a type of listening. A very gentle listening. Each breath completely unique, completely different from the previous breath. And allowing your breath to be long or short or big or wide, sharp, jagged, smooth, soothing, however each breath is. There may be places that you encounter where there's a little bit more contractedness or tension. And just bringing some awareness to that can often help to just let go of that tension. Almost like it was the fact that we weren't aware is what was keeping the holding. And then, like a hand opening, just releasing that. And even if it's something that you live with, some part of your body that has some issue, some pain, sometimes the holding can be the adding. What we weren't awareness, that we were clutching onto it. And we can just release a little bit, even if it doesn't go away. And keep traveling in awareness. So we don't need to get stuck on where it's more dense. We can keep exploring what else is there, what else is there. The different atmospheres, the different textures inside us. The changingness, moment by moment. Inviting you into towards a welcoming of yourself here now in this place with these people as you are. As you are, without some huge need to fix, to change, just a little bit of letting go of what's not necessary. A putting down, putting aside, a letting flow off us. Without a huge agenda of needing to fix ourselves and become someone else.